It is good to see everybody here this morning. This morning I want us to try to present a lesson. I hope it will have the desired effect. And that is to help each one of us realize that we are precious, that we are important to God. Let me ask you a question. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? Some of you see gray hairs or freckles or wrinkles. Some of you may see someone who you think is ugly, too fat, too thin, too something. Some of you see someone who's not smart enough, not quick enough, not good looking enough, not something enough. Some of you see a mask trying to cover up the struggles that are going on the inside. Some of you see someone who is trying desperately hard to be everything God wants them to be, but keeps falling short. Some of you see someone who is desperately trying to prove to everyone how you're good enough, even though you know you can't possibly be good enough. Some of you see every sin you've ever committed and fear that everyone else can see them too. Some of you don't know who you're seeing. Folks, this morning I want to share with you what God sees when he looks at you. 1 John 3 verse 1 says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are." That comes from the ESV translation. Folks, whatever else you see when you look in the mirror, I want to make sure that you are a beloved child of God. And I don't want us to take that for granted. And I don't want us to forget it. You are a beloved child of God. In John 1 verses 12 through 13, we're told, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Have you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you believed in him and obeyed the gospel? Then you are a beloved child of God. And don't forget what God has done for you. In John 3:16, we're told, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world, with you in it, by sending his Son into the world so that you might live through him. He became the propitiation for your sins by his sacrifice. Folks, that is how much our God loves you. In Romans 5, verses 6 through 10, Paul reminds us and drives home the point that God sent his Son for you while you were weak. He didn't do it because you were strong enough. He sent his Son for you while you were a sinner. And he didn't do it because you had done enough good things or you were righteous enough. God showed his love to you by sending Jesus to die for you. For you. Why? Ask yourself the question, why? Why does God love you? 1 John 4 verse 8 explains it. It is because God is love. Now stop and bask in that for just a moment. God loves you because God is love. He doesn't love you because of your looks, your brains, your health, your wealth, your wisdom, your righteousness, your anything. God loves you because He is love. Not because you are anything. Understand what that means for you today. Nothing you do today will make God love you any more than He already does. And nothing you do today will make God love you any less than He already does. Now, does that mean that God doesn't care about our sins? Absolutely not. He does care about our sins. And He wants us to be forgiven of those sins. But as His child, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, those sins can be forgiven. And God still loves us. Folks, you are a beloved child of God. And when He looks at you, He doesn't see all the other stuff that you see. He simply sees someone He loves and wants to be close to Him. So when you look in the mirror, I hope you can start to see a beloved child of God. Can you say that? Can you say, I'm a beloved child of God? Why not try it with me? I am a beloved child of God. I am a beloved child of God. Now, it's funny how we go out and we'll buy all these books on positive thinking and we'll read them, and the author gives us this speech, put up post-it notes. Remind yourself to think positive. Well, put up a mental post-it note that I am a beloved child of God. And if the mental one doesn't work, put up a paper one till the mental one takes over. And because you are a beloved child of God, trust God and follow His ways. It works, folks. In Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11, Jesus tells us about God's love. We are His beloved children, and He knows how to give us good gifts. And He wants to give us good gifts. But more than that, He has given us good gifts. James 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Every good gift that you and I have ever received in this life is from God. And one of His good gifts is His Word, the Bible. All Scripture has been God-breathed that we might be competent, equipped for every good work, Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. And Paul commended the Ephesians to the word of God's grace because it is able to build us up and give us an inheritance among the saints. Acts 20, verse 32. Jesus continues in Matthew 7, and He says that we need to enter by God's narrow gate or narrow way instead of the broad way. Ask yourself the question, why? Why? The religious world today tells us it doesn't matter which way you go. They all come together in the end. But that's not what Jesus taught. Jesus taught there's one way. And He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one cometh to the Father except by Me. There's not hundreds or thousands of ways that all just magically come together at the end to get into heaven. There's one. And that's through Jesus Christ. Folks, do we need to prove how awesome we are? Do we need to do that to earn salvation? Absolutely not. We do that because God's way works. God has given us the gift of His Word. Let's drop the competitions to prove our will from God's Word and instead simply discover His will and follow it. Why? Because His way works. His pattern will get us to heaven. And that is His grace. Second thing I would encourage is just seek His blessings and see His blessings. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 7. Some of you have been reading it. Some of you glanced at it. Some of you didn't care. Okay, and that's fine. But turn back with me to Matthew chapter 7. Because I want us to read it this time through. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 7, Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you, then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask Him?" Folks, God wants to give us good gifts. He loves us, and He wants to bless us. But did you notice who He gives the good gifts to? It doesn't say to those who want it. It doesn't say to those who need it. It says to those who ask. How many of God's good gifts go unopened because we simply don't ask? James 4 verse 2 says so often, we don't receive simply because we don't ask. Folks, God wants to bless us. So we need to ask. Matthew 6 verse 33 says, "If we seek God's kingdom first, He will provide all the other things that we need." You see, God loves you and wants to take care of you. So instead of thinking you need to take care of yourself and then get close to God, turn it around. Get close to God and let Him take care of you. Let Him bless you. But not only should you seek the blessings of God's care for you, make sure you see the blessings God has given you. See, all too often we see what God hasn't done for us yet. We see things that we want and have even asked for that He hasn't given. Spend some time counting your blessings, material and spiritual. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, "God has blessed us with all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places." We need to see those blessings. We need to see how truly blessed we really are. And regarding physical blessings, remember this. Remember that it is through God that we live, that we move, that we have our very being. Acts 17 verse 28. Don't take for granted the daily blessings of breathing, of eating, of having clothing and shelter. How many of you ever had the experience of being told to shut down your AC because of sewage that had flowed into and told you had to leave your home? Ever had that kind of disaster? What would your reaction be? be a little bit upset, wouldn't you? You'd want to complain to somebody, wouldn't you? But maybe we should remember that many people who suffered flooding just a few weeks ago would gladly trade places with us any given day of the week. Further, it dawns on me whenever things like this happen, and they're not convenient, then they're always expensive. I don't know why, but it always seems like anytime anything breaks down, it's not an easy fix. It always costs money. But think about it for a moment. It dawned on me that instead of complaining and thinking God is picking on me because I had to go without air conditioning for a few days, I should give thanks that I've had it for the majority of my life. And then I have it back again. In just a few days. Now, there's a whole bunch of us in this room that can remember growing up without air conditioning. We had one air conditioner in our house. It was a window unit. And the only reason we had that window unit was because my dad worked third shift. So he had to sleep during the day. And you cannot sleep during the day when it's hot, folks. Not with the humidity that we have in Illinois. And so they have one air conditioner. And that was for two purposes. Cool the room down where he slept, was trying to sleep, and put off enough noise so he could sleep. And so whenever he got up out of that bed, you knew you'd been too noisy because it took a lot of noise to out-noise that air conditioner. Instead of complaining that we may have to leave our house for a few days, we should be thankful that we have people who are willing to open up their homes and their houses and their families to us. And folks, that's God's blessing in life. How many blessings has God given you just this week? How many blessings has God given you just this week? I can remember last night I came home. Kathy and I drove back to the house. I said, my arm is sore. I've been carrying a little bit around for about 2 hours. That's Abigail. Okay? She's not so little anymore. I'm complaining because my muscle's sore. I got to hold that baby for 2 hours. She wouldn't go to Meemaw. She wouldn't go to Papaw. She wouldn't go to any of her aunts and uncles. She wanted Papa. My muscle's fine today. Just a little sore last night. And we need to remember God loves us. You are His beloved child. Seek His blessings. See His blessings. And third, don't get bogged down in fear. Romans 8 verse 14 and 15 tells us that we are the adopted children of God. Therefore, we don't have to walk back into fear. No matter what happens to us or around us in this life, we can rest in the comfort that God hasn't lost us. God loves us. Instead of cowering in our own little corner of the world in silent panic, we can cry out to God, Abba, Father, and He is there for us. Paul continues in Romans 8, verses 31 through 39, explaining why we had nothing to fear. Folks, nothing can force us out of God's hand. No sickness, financial turmoil, persecution, struggle, absolutely nothing. Satan can't take us out of God's hand. We don't have to fear that. As long as we are holding on to God, we don't ever have to fear that He will let us go. And too often we get caught up in trying to figure out what the things going on around us mean. What is God trying to say to us? Does this turmoil mean God doesn't love us? No. No matter what happens, we do not have to fear. We are beloved children of God. And we can rest in His love, allowing Him to be our strong and mighty tower. Psalm 18, verses 1 through 3. And the fourth thing I'd note is, when you mess up, run to God, not away from God. I want you to look again at Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. Paul tells us God sent Jesus to die for you while you were a sinner. He didn't do it while you were doing your best to be righteous on your own. He knew your sins and sent Jesus to die for you. In fact, God knew every sin you would ever commit in your entire life. And Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6 makes it very clear. God knew everything you would ever do. Not one single thing caused Him to step back and say, "Oh my, guess I can't save that one." God looked at every sin you committed and said, "I'm going to send my only Son to save you from that." Now, sadly, when we mess up big, we have a tendency to turn away from God. We want to run from Him, like Adam and Eve in the garden. We are ashamed and we try to hide. And we may hide by cutting ourselves off from God and His people. We may hide our sin by trying to cover it up with a lot of seeming righteousness. And we may think that if we hide it from folks in the church, we've hidden it from God. We try to hide it until we've done enough to make up for it. Folks, why do we do those things? Because we're sure God is going to bring down His wrath on us if we let Him know what we've done. Well, folks, that's not how it works with God. God's wrath comes upon us when we try to hide our sins, not when we bring them to Him. Proverbs 28, verse 13. Ask yourself the question, what would happen to Peter if, when he began to sink in the water, he tried to hide from Jesus? But he didn't try to hide. He turned back to Jesus, and Jesus saved him. What would have happened to the woman with the issue of blood that made her unclean and had hidden from Jesus? But she didn't hide. She came to Jesus and touched Him. What would have happened to the sinful woman in Luke 7, verses 36 through 50, if she had hidden from Jesus? But she didn't. She came to Him, washed His feet with her tears, and dried them with her hair. What would have happened to the prodigal of Luke 15 if he had decided his folly meant he should hide from the Father? But he didn't. He came to His Father seeking mercy. What will happen to us if we try to hide from God? We must not. We are God's beloved children. Our sins don't make us or make Him hate us. Our sins don't cause Him to dislike us. Our sins do not cause God to love us any less. He already knew we would commit sin, that sin, when He sent His only Son, to die for us. You see, you are God's beloved child. When you sin, don't run from your loving Father. Run to Him. Run to His arms. Accept His forgiveness and direction. Even if, like the prodigal, the father's other children don't accept you properly, don't let them deter you from running. Don't let that deter you from running back to God. Because He loves you. And your brothers and sisters in Christ need to grow up like the prodigal's brother. You need to grow up. So what do you see in the mirror? Learn to see what God sees. When God sees you, He sees one of His beloved children. He sees someone He loves so much that He sent His Son to die for you. Please don't run from Him. Turn to Him. Trust Him. Seek His blessings. Take comfort in Him. Hang on to Him. 1 John 3 verse 1 says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are." Wow. I am a child of God. How could we want anything else more than that? Thank you, God, for your love. How can we love anything else more than God? Folks, let's love each other and love our God. And the next time you look in that mirror, say out loud, "I'm a beloved child of God. And today, I'm going to live like it." This morning, if you're not God's child, God wants to bless you and wants you to become His child. He wants you to put the life of sin behind you, to dedicate your life to Him, to allow the precious blood of His Son to wash away your sins in baptism, and for you to be able to rise as a new creature, sinless, all your sins having been washed away. If we can help you make your life right with God this morning, we want to do that. Whatever your need might be, once you come, as Troy leads us in the invitation song.